Have you ever wondered where the problems in the world today would exist if we had deeper connection to ourselves, others, and the environment, and acted from that place? Welcome to the Conscious Action Podcast with your host, Brian Berneman, who believe that connection is the key to taking conscious action as individuals and creating a better world. We are here to raise awareness and inspire meaningful action by sharing stories, knowledge, and conversations with thought leaders and change makers. From sustainability to well-being and everything related to conscious living, our mission is to empower you to be the change that you want to see in the world. Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of the Conscious Action Podcast. I am Brian Berneman, your host, and I have the pleasure to be joined all the way from New York in the USA by Lindsay Coffey. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for being here, for taking the time to have this conversation with me. And for everybody that is watching and listening to us, what can you share about you? Who is Lindsay?
Yeah, who is Lindsay? That's always, you know, an internal question you ask yourself all the time. But thank you so much for inviting me and allowing me to be part of this. I loved the Conscious Action, just listening to your episodes. And I was like, oh my goodness, I really need to talk to this guy. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it. So a little bit about me. I'm Lindsay, of course. Hello. And I am a fashion model. I've been in the industry for over 10 years now. And I am also an environmental activist. Now, my activism has always been part of me ever since I was younger. I did grow up in the country, even though I do live in the city at the moment. So I do have the best of both worlds, but it was always a love for nature that I've had ever since I was younger that kind of grew and became a huge part of who I am, especially now when I kind of shifted that love into more of an activism space. So I am also working with EcoBranders now, and they are one of the first eco-conscious, brandable merchandise retailers in the United States. And as my values aligned with theirs in creating a healthier, greener planet where we can all thrive together harmoniously, I was very excited to kind of join this company to be able to, you know, help their mission, help my mission. And since we can kind of join forces, team up together, really to see how we can transform the world and inspire others to do the same. So I'm also one of the first and only Americans to ever win the international title of Miss Earth, which was an environmental competition that kind of really sparked the fire in me to continue and pursue my activism to a greater level, because I very much so lacked the confidence beforehand. So that also really kind of sparked my activism and plays a huge part and a huge role into the person I am today. So it's a little bit about me in a nutshell.
Beautiful. I do have some follow-up questions to that, Lindsay. The first one being, so you mentioned, you know, you grew up in the country, so you're more in touch than perhaps someone like me that grew up in a city without much nature, without that connection, which I ended up doing much later. When you start, especially in your career, more as an adult, did you start to make those connections of the things that were around you, especially with modeling, you know, like the clothes and everything, how that was actually connected to an environmental sustainable issue, or did that take some time? How was that for you?
Yeah, so it is kind of crazy how I ended up upon just the ethics or the lack of ethics in the fashion industry. And being a model, I wasn't as aware of it as you would think. As immersed as I was in that industry, I lacked the knowledge of the devastating and honestly catastrophic effects it had on our planet. And when I started my activism, I was all about climate justice, conservation, animal welfare. And throughout my years as a model, and when my knowledge of just the environment had grown, I learned how impactful the industry was and how the fashion industry contributes 10% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Now, as a model and as an activist, I felt obligated to become a voice in my industry in order to share how harmful it was and the solutions we have to make it a little bit better. I will say being a model 100% did play a part in wanting to advocate for that specific type of activism, because I am part of the industry. And at one point I even felt like a hypocrite for being involved, because as a model, I'm promoting products, I'm promoting brands, I'm promoting overconsumption, and I don't want to be affiliated with that. So that is why I did feel hypocritical. But also, when it comes down to it, it is just a job. I'm just earning a paycheck, and I'm not the one that is behind the company making these decisions. I'm not the ones in the manufacturing warehouses choosing how they want to regulate their company. So what I could do, though, to make this a little bit better was to at least use my voice inside and outside of the industry to raise awareness of how it is impactful and how we can change those impacts.
So. Yes, definitely. You know, it's one of the things that a lot of times I talk to people. We grew up and a lot of times we don't know. Like, I didn't know the impact of clothing in the environment and in people. I didn't know the impact of consumerism at all. I didn't know the impact on so many things. There were just, you know, like, things in my life. I used them. I have no idea where they come from. When I was younger, I didn't even ask, you know, like, what is this coming from? You know, right? Like, seeing things, it's like, oh, okay, made in Vietnam, made in China, made in whatever. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, that wasn't but I didn't have that moment until I learned. I didn't know. And that's just one of the things that I often say to people. I don't judge people for not knowing. I didn't know. There's 100%. So many things that I still don't know. And one of the things a lot of times, and I talk about this especially with people that are similar to you in an industry that once you know the impact that it has, is it, do I need to get out of here, or can I stay, and can I actually aim to create change from within as well? Because we need all of that. We need the people that do stay and are part of it from a different lens, with an understanding, as you're saying, you know, we live in a system that we need to make money to make a living. And if that is how, you know, like, you're fortunate to make a living, then all good. And using that platform, as you say, to either inspire or to raise awareness, or to use it as possible to raise awareness. And I think that this is one of the things a lot of times that, you know, I see in the sustainability space and the environmental space and the activism space, a lot of black and white. And there's not enough space for the reality, which the reality is, it's not black or white. It's a very interesting dynamic that it's all of the time moving. And some people might choose, like, you know, I'm going to remove myself from this, all good. But some people might choose, you know, like, as you, I need to make a living, then can use this platform. Like, how in your experience, both personally and what you see around you and what you know in the space, how do you see that, like, you know, fixed view of black or white and then that more gray area?
In short, just what you said, realism. But even before I get into that, just exactly what you said, so many people, they make the choice that they make because they don't know that they have another option. And it is about that awareness. It's about that education. And we all know the first step to change is through awareness. So educating people and letting them know the choices that they have, that will inspire them to make a better choice. And it's not a lack of people caring, so to speak. It's just really a lack of knowledge and a lack of awareness of their options. But especially being in the industry and the career path that I did choose, it does give me an insider perspective of what as well. So I can see intimately where the areas need to shift and what is really going on behind the scenes. So it does put me in a position of power, really, where, okay, yes, I am part of an industry that is harmful to an extent, but I'm also within it where I'm able to help inspire changes and make those shifts. Now, it would be completely different though if I was like, after this podcast, I'm like, all right, I got to go to work, and I grab my like pickaxe and I head down to the mines and I start like, you know, shoveling away. So that would be different. So being able to be in a job where you are mindful of the changes that need to be made, and then actively trying to pursue something, you know, personally, your own passion project to try and make those changes come into existence. So when it comes to activism and where people are kind of black and white, or like, you need to go all in or don't go in at all, that is not the best way to approach any situation, because the fact is we have to accept reality. Now, we don't, when I say accept, we don't have to agree with it, but we have to understand that it is happening and become aware of why this is happening, why it is the way it is, and the options that we have to change it. It's about realism and being able to focus on what is realistic within society, what they can accomplish, and the tools that we have to get us there. So when like, just even in my activism, I understand that there, in regarding consumption, we have to consume. It is honestly part of our nature and part of our culture now to consume things. But now, instead of just focusing on consumption and overconsumption, we can try and regulate our consumption habits and produce mindful consumption, where we can completely change the culture of this throwaway culture that we have created, that the industry has created, and now add mindfulness to it, where in general, we're elevating our environmental consciousness and our consumer consciousness. So it's not about always making the right choice. It's about the lesser of two evils and making the best choice that you can that fits your daily life and your daily habits.
Yeah. You know, like, one of the things that I always tell people is we need, as you're saying, that multi-pronged approach. It's not about saying like, oh, this is the way that it is, and nothing, you know, like, there's nothing we can do. It's about, okay, what can we do? And also, what is it there? It's the same with a lot of times I tell people with recycling. Like, recycling is not the solution, yet we need to teach people how to recycle, because if people are using single-use plastic or are using different types of plastics or any type of material that could potentially be recycled, and that's going to landfill, that doesn't help us either. So yes, of course, we would love to create a system that everything is completely reusable. There's a complete circularity in the system. There's no like a linear system of throwaways. That's not the reality now. So how can we, as we develop a new system, use what's there to also raise awareness? And as you said, like, one of the biggest things a lot of times that, as you mentioned, in being mindful, becoming more aware, is the importance of like personal responsibility, personal accountability, and as well personal growth. And that for me is a big part as well in what a lot of people, like, sometimes they think like, oh, that's, you know, like, you're not doing anything. And like, no, this is a huge step on environmentalism, working on myself. So I would love to know, Lindsay, for you a little bit, how has your personal journey been in terms of your own mindful personal growth experience?
So just personal growth, I feel, also falls under our emotional awareness. And the best way to unlock success within our own life is through that power of emotional awareness. And the, like, through personal growth and through my own individual personal growth, we can take on greater responsibility for the choices that we do make. And for me, that was the realization of life beyond myself and understanding the impact of my consumption and my behavior, just within my own life, regarding the workers in that field that are creating these products, and the overall just impact of our actions through society and on our environment. So by developing that increased self-awareness is how we become more conscious of our values, our beliefs, the impacts that we make. And it's, in essence, it's just personal growth and responsibility creates that mindset where we have more thoughtfulness, we act with intentionality instead of impulsivity, and we have a broader awareness of our impacts on the world. So throughout my own personal journey of just healing myself and growing and being the best version of myself, I can now understand who I am, why I make the decisions that I make. And then on an outside perspective, I can see how the course of actions that I lead in my life impacts other people. They impact the society that I, the community that I'm in. They impact even workers abroad that are making these products that I'm consuming. So now my personal growth, even though it is personal within myself, it expands to outside of myself, where my growth now can make an even bigger impact, not only on my individual life, but on life around me. So I feel that is why personal growth is so important, because even though it is so, so personal to you, your internal changes that you make will have external consequences. And again, those consequences that are from our choices, we have also the choice to determine whether that's going to be a positive or negative impact. So that is why I feel like personal growth is so important. Do you also have like a journey of your personal growth and how like you came to be and like the impacts you were able to make because of the growth that you were able to have?
Yeah, definitely. For me, actually, like all of the environmental sustainable like perspectives that I have, they all come from my personal journey and personal growth. As I said, you know, growing up in a city, I didn't have that connection to nature. I didn't know where things were coming from. As I started to connect more within me, I started to change the way that I was eating, the way that I was relating certain things. And then as I started to learn more and more and actually care in a sense more, because I was actually more aware of the interrelationship of everything, my connection with the earth, my connection with everyone, regardless of where they are, who they are, their culture, their ethnicity, their religion, it doesn't matter. We are all connected. Until I was able to experience that, I didn't know how much of an impact was having on the rest that wasn't just me. So like that's one of the things that a lot of times I tell people, because as you're pointing out, like we live in a society where there is consumerism. We're in a society that everything is fast paced. We live in a society that most people are living on survival mode. And if someone is living on survival mode, it's hard to care for others in the same lens that, you know, like you're not going to go above and beyond to choose how does this have an impact on the world. You know, like you're not going to think of that if you don't have the bandwidth, because you're just surviving, you're just going through the motions. So as you know, like as I started to gain more understanding of myself and then being able to understand what do I care for, you know, like what are my values, what are the things that I believe in and the things that I want to stand for, then it's easier to change my outside behavior to match those things. But until I did all of that inner work, it was really, really hard to see that. And one of the things that I realized, and this is one of the topics that every year when I run events on topics that have to do with waste or sustainability, I always tell everyone, if you're alive, you're going to have a footprint. How big or small that footprint is, it's up to you. What kind of impact do you want to have? It's up to you. And that is about the same as you were saying. It's about being realistic. We're all going to have that. Now, can I do some things that are going to have a positive impact in people, in the planet, so that my, let's call it negative impact, or the impact that has some kind of like footprint for the environment or people, can be more balanced? And that is, I think, as well, the awareness that is needed so that we can move towards a more conscious consumerism, because we're not going to stop suddenly consuming, as you're saying. Let's be realistic. How can we move towards a more conscious consumerism? And that is the question that a lot of times I keep on asking, and the questions that I'm going to ask you now.
Yes. But no, I agree with everything you said too, especially just to emphasize the fact that, yes, whenever people are kind of struggling as well, like how they're kind of so consumed with what's going on in their own life that they can't really focus on what's going on around them. And like, I've been there, I've done that. I've even been to a point where it's like, oh, I really want to purchase this because I know it's a little bit more eco-friendly, but I can't afford it. So I need to go with even the cheaper option. So like, I've been there, I've done that, and it's not a good place to be in. But that also falls into like also another category of developing those tools and those coping mechanisms to kind of heal yourself and get yourself to that place. And we could even dive into that, like, you know, at a later date, but it's also about focusing. It also kind of ties into, yes, not everyone was born with privilege, but everyone was born with choice. So it is the choices that they make, where they can make them, that they can create an impact, no matter how big, no matter how small. And what I really want to focus on is on the people that have that privilege, that they are the voice that we need that can help guide us and help support the ones that unfortunately aren't, their voices aren't as heard as others. And to be that guiding light for those in order to help them out, in order to help out their community, in order to help out their environment, to create a healthier, greener, more just a thriving economy, even on their part, to just uplift them and uplift in any way that they can. And so whenever I got to a point where I felt like I was able to become a voice and help those who have been ignored for decades, I wanted to do that. And I wanted to just create a better life, not just for myself, but for everyone that we share this world with. And that impact that I want to make, even though I want to change the world, if I can even just change one person's world, that fulfills me and that brings me joy. So being able to do what you can in the position that you are in with the strengths that you do have, utilize them. Know that every choice that you make, you can become a better person. Your altruism is also contagious, where you can also help someone else that inspires them to want to do the same. So it's just even small little choices that you make on the daily basis that can have a huge impact on yourself, on other people, on a community. But in order to lean more towards that conscious consumerism to shift society in that direction, it really overall details a shift in society values, consumer behavior, and corporate practices, all of which individual consumers do play a part in. And as mentioned, the first step to change is awareness. It is education. And that can mean researching things on your own or learning through education programs or media campaigns, which is more common now since social media, you know, is unavoidable, but it's also great as a tool if you utilize it in the right way. And through that awareness, where consumer choices can change by engaging in mindful consumption, when you learn what that is and learn what that details, you can also do that by supporting ethical brands and encouraging activism. And when I do say activism, I don't necessarily mean the true definition of the term where I'm like telling you go out, protest on the streets and become an activist. I'm really just saying activism in a way by changing your own consumption habits, because you know the old ways were harmful. And now you're creating a movement within your own life, knowing that your individual actions can create that impact. And then this is also where your friends and family see a shift in that behavior, causing them to possibly rethink their choices, rethink their actions, and also supporting that need for government regulations and corporate responsibility, which is also a form of activism as well, that I feel is very, very dire in order to shift us into that more conscious consumerism, as again, it does shift us into a higher level of consumer and environmental consciousness. And that is what we need to have in order to completely reshape the way people consume.
Yeah. And you know, like you touched on a couple of topics there that I feel like are really important. One is, and I often talk about this, about privilege. I know I am privileged, you know, like, and I say to people, what are we doing with our privilege? Not as a burden, not as like, you're now going to have the weight of the world on your shoulders. No, about a light way of understanding, as you're saying, I'm in a position that not everyone is, to know things, to have a voice, to have a platform. How am I using that? And going, as you were saying, with your strength. Because this is one of the keys that, and I had this conversation a few years ago, and then I invited this woman, Miriama, to be on the podcast talking about activism and about different ways of activism. Because mostly when, as you were saying, you know, like when someone talks about activism, we all think like, you know, like Extinction Rebellion or something, you know, like really hardcore out there, putting yourself on the line. And it's like all good with the people that do that. There's a lot of other ways to be an activist. You can be an activist in your own home, telling if you live with people, your family, housemates, you know, like educating them, finding, you know, like ways of reducing your waste or changing some behaviors, the same with your family, at your school, your community center, you know, like it doesn't matter how, or as you were saying, you know, like perhaps at work, perhaps you're someone that is an activist just by at work encouraging your co-workers to change, you know, like some of their ways, to change in the company policy, something to talk about, like, hey, what are we doing about this, you know, like in terms of sustainability, or going to, you know, like petition for government change. All those things are activism, but we don't think of that a lot of times. And that is, you know, activism as a way of acting based on the things that we care about and the things that we know. And I think that is so important to be able to create the changes that that we need on every single level. Because as you're saying, you know, like a lot of times I talk about the difference of personal responsibility in terms of creating change versus, you know, like what the system, government or businesses can do. And it's like, does it matter what people do? And I'm like always, yes, because people are also part of government and business. And if they change, like, then things will change. And, you know, there's a topic that I've been talking about a lot throughout the years, that it's voting with your dollars. If you vote with your dollars in terms of where you're purchasing, from which company you're purchasing, you know, like, if you have to, as an example, if you have to buy something as a company, if you have to buy branded things, instead of buying from a company that has no idea where they, like, their products are coming from, who made them, you can find companies like EcoBrander that are, you know, like they're doing the research, they care, so that then you actually change and say like, oh, I'm going to ask, you know, like for this. It might be similar price, it might be different, but I care about this, so I'm going to actually vote with my dollar. And that is how we create demand and we create change.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And it's about, yeah, that mindful consumption. And like what EcoBranders does when we even have a strict product criteria that has to, that each product has to be met in order for us to offer it on our website. And when we do that, we have to be mindful of where this product is coming from, how it's made, how it's being sourced, how the inner workings of who's manufacturing it, who's transporting it, the country they're even obtaining this from. So there are just so many things that go into it. And I do like the phrase, like, how can we vote with our dollars? Because I never actually heard that before. So I think that is very interesting, but it is so true. And it shines a light on how significant supply and demand is within our world, and supply and demand drives every economy. And whenever we can be more aware of what we are demanding, that will be able to change the supply. So even at EcoBranders, whenever we have that strict product criteria that we that each product has to meet in order for us to take it on, we're changing our demand. So we are looking at companies that are that have certifications, that they have transparency, that they honor accountability, that it is easy to be able to find out where these products are being sourced, how they're being made, and where they're coming from. So as an individual consumer, whenever you do even find companies like EcoBranders, it's a pretty safe bet where, you know, like we're doing all the work and heavy lifting for you. So it's awesome whenever you can find companies, brands, organizations even that do that. And speaking of organizations, just as a fun fact, there are so many cheat sheets out there for the consumer because realistically, a lot of unfair responsibility falls on us. So there's websites like goodonyou.eco, remake.world has a brand directory that you can go to. And both of these sites provide you a directory where you can type in a brand or a company and it will share with you their accountability standards, basically how environmentally friendly they are, how socially responsible they are. But in general, we have to keep our mindset around supply and demand and remember that, okay, yes, brands and manufacturers do need more accountability programs, 100%, but with zero demand comes zero supply, and mindful consumers are the ones that shape market trends. So by purchasing from mindful, ethical, and sustainable companies will cause other non-mindful companies to strategize and evolve to meet the demands in order to stay relevant and continue to make a profit. And we just have so much power in our choices. And I feel oftentimes many people don't understand that or believe it because, again, it's a lack of awareness and knowledge of the choices that they can make and the impact of those choices, especially collectively. Once we all individually change these habits and it turns into a collective action. And so I can't emphasize that enough. So consumers are the ones that actually control the market. Consumers control the supply. So if we stop buying, it will force companies to change. If we do not, and we just put all of the responsibility back on the companies, which again, they 100% should have more accountability programs. But if we do not change our consumption habits, and just the companies do, then there's going to be another company that pops up tomorrow that is selling the product that you want, and we're all going to go there. So it does start with the consumer. Again, we are the ones that do shape the market trends, and it's our decisions that are influencing how these manufacturers are producing.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that with that comes along is it's a lot of the really educating ourselves. Because, and as you're saying, educating ourselves can be using already the resources of people and companies and organizations that have gone through the work, as you're saying, with Good on You or Remake World, like that go through the research so that we as individuals can just go there and we don't have to research each and every single individual company. And yes, of course, it's not perfect. Of course, there's no perfection in scores. There's no perfection in anything. But that can lead us to a place that we are more empowered to make decisions that feel the right ones for us when we need to make a purchase. And, you know, like a lot of times I tell people there's like sometimes you can go to a market and you can find a fair trade chocolate, for example, and you can find a chocolate that doesn't share any information about their ethical practices. And me as a consumer, as I know what happens, especially with chocolate, which is not a very good industry in the world, it's okay, if I'm choosing this, again, as you're saying, I'm creating more demand for that, and I'm not creating demand for the other one, and voting with my dollar. And as well, luckily, nowadays, which this is not true for every single industry, there's a lot of things that are similar price. We don't need to pay so much for the things that are actually sustainable, environmentally friendly, ethically made, which sometimes with clothes, it happens. Like, you know, like I know, for example, like I'm wearing this t-shirt from a brand here in New Zealand that it's called We Are, which I know the owner, I know the people that work there, I know their ethos, I know their practices, and, you know, like knowing that they use organic cotton, knowing that they pay like a living wage to their employees and to the people in the farms. They actually know the people that are growing their cotton. They know their makers. They know everything. For me, I was like, okay, I know that I'm paying more for this. And again, I'm privileged that I can pay for it, but I'm buying one and not 20 that are cheaper. And that is as well one of the things that as I have been actually like doing some like cleaning here in my room, it's like, you know, there's, I realize even though for majority of people I don't have much stuff, like I have a lot of stuff and people have so much stuff, but they keep on buying and they keep on buying and they keep on filling that void that a lot of times is there. I was wondering, Lindsay, if you can talk a little bit from your experience and from what you see in terms of that space of like just buying and needing more stuff.
Oh, goodness. Yes. There is so much mindlessness consumption for sure. But also, yeah, I agree with everything you said as well. And it even falls back on, there are price points that are similar for, you know, environmentally friendly alternatives. And again, it also falls back on as well, supply and demand that can also lower those prices where it is more globally affordable and just affordable across the line. And as well, excuse me, as well, that also kind of brings me back. I remember, I think there's a quote, I think it was by Albert Einstein of all people too, but it goes something like, those with the privilege to know have the duty to act. And it's, you know, especially given those people that do have that privilege and those resources to know what is happening in the world, to make those choices where they can possibly purchase and demand these more alternative eco-friendly products that can then in turn lower the prices where those that aren't as privileged can be able to afford it. What was the question that we just, what you just asked?
I was just asking about the, like the need to buy stuff and how that fills that void. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah, the mindlessness consumption. So we have needs and we have wants, but we make more purchases driven by desire than by human needs. And our purchases are more so for instant and temporary gratification. They are driven by ego, emotion to fill a void. We also have like retail therapy now, like, you know, it's been around forever where we're just buying things because it gives us a dopamine hit. And we have some people that do cater more towards materialism where their purchases are in pursuit of happiness or social acceptance. But in reality, it's driven by underlying emotional insecurities or unmet emotional needs. But then if we're not buying, that can contribute to low self-esteem or low worth or the fear of missing out on a trend, or you could even hold resentment for those who have it, but you don't. So there are so many things that drive us to consume, and it takes a lot of self-awareness and introspection to determine why we're making the choices that we are making. But also, if we take it one step further outside of ourselves, why do we even think like this? And we have to look at the marketing. So there are companies out there that associate their products with positive emotions, with social status and personal fulfillment. They are the ones that are creating this perception that certain products and brands lead to happiness and lead to that social acceptance or an overall improved quality of life. So material things, they cannot do that. And we have to understand that, that if you do make purchases that do align with your values, such as buying from a conscious company, that can now contribute positively within your own life, because those actions are being made with meaning behind them and they're creating a positive impact, and it's really purposeful consumption now. Mm-hmm. So there's so many factors that play a part in why we consume, like how our consuming habits have developed, and these external sources that are kind of feeding into our subconscious that is also driving our consumption habits. But none of these really just false statements are able to give us what we desire most, which is that sense of fulfillment, that peace, that happiness, that joy, that social acceptance from everyone, because as human beings, our happiness is also determinant based on like human connection. So these are all things that we desire, and we are being misled to believe that these purchases will aid in that and create it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I often remember is back in 2008, I did my postgrad on neuroscience. Neuroscience was at that moment kind of like the new kid on the block. Like, I realized after the first class that we had in the year that everybody was kind of like, you know, like just introducing themselves. Everybody else that was there were employees of big corporations sent there to understand how can they manipulate more the people to buy their products. And, you know, like all of the things that I learned were amazing. And then I was like, oh my God, like this is so easy to manipulate people. And
neuromarketing, started, right?
Yes. And then I was understanding like, oh my God, like this is what I am doing, because back then I wasn't as conscious as I am now. And I was like, oh, I'm falling for that. I'm falling for that. I'm falling for that one. And then, you know, I started to understand not only it's about that neuromarketing, it's about the manipulation. It's also the, as you're saying, that psychological aspect, but it's also about misleading people with what nowadays we call greenwashing. There's so much of that. And that it's like, oh, you know, like this is good. And I'm like, no, it's not. But most people don't even, you know, like ask any further questions. It's, you know, like I saw this ad the other time a few months ago on the street, like on a big poster on the bus stop that said, like it was a water bottle and it's a made from 100% recyclable plastic. And then there was a little asterisk. People don't notice that asterisk. And I went and I got really close. And inside it said like the percentage of that was for only a part of the product. The rest of the product was made from virgin like plastic. And I'm like, you are stating in a big, you know, like, here, yeah. 100%, like, so you make people feel good about their purchase of that. And then it's like, that wasn't even real. And that is one of the things that, you know, like, as we are learning and we know more, we need to share those messages.
100%. And like, just neuromarketing in general, like, and greenwashing, it's all manipulation tactics and a strategy just to get inside the consumer's head. And it fascinates me because even with neuromarketing, it's so controversial because it's just a matter of ethics. And whenever you really dive into the strategies behind neuromarketing, it's extremely unethical. Like, but it can be very effective though as well, but it is completely unethical. And it's not, of course, it is a business. Everyone wants to turn a profit. I understand that. And again, it's part of embracing realism and the current state of society today and what is realistic. So a lot of things that people don't know, and especially companies, is that you can still have profit with purpose. And your purpose could actually produce more profit. And we can also talk about that too and go into that. And it's interesting because so many people think that they're going to lose so many clients and not be able to have that type of profit that they desire. But even just for an example, just the other day I had this bag and it was, or I bought this bag and I didn't want to buy it because I'm like, I technically don't need a bag, but of course we're consumers and it is like it's almost in our blood, you know? So I was like, okay, I really want to buy this, but I know I don't need it. But it was a local like boutique selling it, like a pop-up kind of kiosk almost. And I ended up asking about the bag. And from there, I ended up learning, though, that it was made of hemp and it was crafted, handcrafted by women in Nepal. And the proceeds go back to those women. And I looked into it and it was just, oh my goodness, it was perfect. And I felt like my hands were tied. I had to buy this bag now because, I mean, it was environmentally friendly with a reduced impact. And it also really advocated for humanitarian efforts by these women who are handcrafting these products, and the money does go back to them. So I'm like, okay, now I have to buy this bag, and I ended up buying it. So I originally sat with my thoughts being like, okay, I shouldn't buy this bag. I already have bags. I don't need it. But then I learned the purpose behind it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to get this bag now. And every time somebody even compliments or looks at my bag, I'm like, oh yeah, I got it here. They, It's made of hemp. It goes back to the women of Nepal who made it. And it's just even a conversation piece. And that inspires others to want to have purposeful purchases where they can kind of, you know, have a nice bragging right to be like how beautiful this product is. But then it also had such an amazing and beautiful impact.
Yeah. And that, you know, that example that you just shared, what I really like about it is that it touches both on, you know, like resources, that it's the product using hemp, that is a very like environmentally friendly, or actually like sometimes depends on what it's grown, how it's grown, even carbon positive. And like, you know, like who's making it, what's the, that, you know, like business or organization doing. Like I a lot of times, as you're saying, like I ask some of the businesses that sometimes I support, and it's like they're working with people in certain places that, you know, like they're really connected. It's not that they are using those people just to get the product and that's it. It's like they are actually connected, supporting those villages and those people to actually have better lives, have better education, to be able to send girls to school that in a lot of places in the world that's not possible. When, you know, like when we can think of that, and then as well, we know that that purchase actually matters, we're also more likely to take care of it and use it for longer. And that is part of this conscious consumerism that a lot of times I talk about. It's like, it's not about stopping, you know, your purchases. It's about understanding where and when can you make purchases with positive impact, as the one that you just mentioned. And I think that that is so good, because most people are used to, you know, like buying things and throwing them away. And it's like, and then they buy another one and they throw it away. And most people like have no idea really the impact of that. They don't know the impact of all of the resources that take from the earth to actually make a product out of the hands and the people, like, and then that goes to a landfill and what happens there. And it's like, we live in this linear model with a throwaway culture that, like, we need the change. And the change starts, as we've been talking, you know, like each individual raising awareness and being able to, you know, like to be an activist in our own way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so important to understand just the impacts of those consumption habits, because like you said, like out of sight, out of mind, we don't know what really happens after it. We're just concerned with, you know, buying something else to replace it, or just buying more in general. So being aware of what is happening outside of our backyard is so crucial in just the development, again, of our own personal growth that we wish to like expand ourselves, expand our own consciousness. But in order to make this world a completely different and better place, it is with our choices that affect the future that we're going to make. And it's so important to know that every person individually has that power, because when each person makes that choice and we're inspiring others to do the same, again, that's when it becomes a collective action. And that's whenever we can see real change. And I also remember a lot of people are despondent about that, because they're like, oh, how can we get the whole world to change? But I remember reading a study conducted by BBC that they came out acknowledging that in order to change the world, or in order to make any type of global impact, you only need 3.5% of the population. So the entire world doesn't have to change, just 3.5% of it. And that is not a lot compared to how many people are out there. So that also kind of gave me a little bit of encouragement and a reality check, really, to understand that, again, it's never about being extreme. It's about being realistic and knowing that a small group of people can have a worldwide impact.
Yes. And, you know, I can't remember now the author of the book that it's called The Tipping Point, that it actually talks about this. It's about understanding how when you reach a certain level of people, then that's all that needs to actually like tip over on the other side, and then you create the change. And this is so important, as you're saying, because again, like, if I would think, oh no, we need, you know, like the 8 billion people to hear this message, and the messages that are coming way stronger from the other like points of view are not, you know, like I'm going to get drowned in there. Like, well, like we don't need everyone to know about this. We need a certain amount of people. And, you know, like, and as I say a lot of times, like, I do my best and, you know, like, I do what I can with what I know, what I am. And I know that I didn't know what I know now 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know now what I will know in a few months or in a few years. So I'm not judging my experience in the past. I don't judge other people's experiences. I do choose to live my life with purpose, whatever that means for me. And as you were saying, you know, like when organizations, when businesses can actually be driven by purpose, they can still make a profit. And perhaps they might choose to be as there was a company that I actually talked a few years ago here in New Zealand with this guy that he had a company for 45 years and then he closed it. And he was like, well, like, we already did what we meant, what we set out to do. Like, we sold this product that was supposed to, you know, last a lifetime. There's no more consumers. We closed.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, our purpose was to create this durable, like, product. And now we did that. We closed. And, you know, like, and he was like, we made a good profit, but now we're obsolete. So he was like, I could, you know, like, tell people, no, you need a new one and you need to buy more. And he was like, that's not why I started this. And if more of us actually do that and we create more purpose-led, values-driven organizations, companies, then it's not just going to be the bottom line, that profit. It's going to be everything with the profit because the business needs to be sustainable.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. And in order to even have these companies, you know, change their ways, kind of a focusing on that activism we spoke of, I always said it's not necessarily about convincing people to change. It's about encouraging those who are willing to act. So when you expand your reach to like-minded, passionate individuals and you connect with them and you meet with them and you share these values, those are the people that you can inspire, and those are the people that are willing to change and willing to join in order to make this impact. So again, like, yeah, out of the 8 billion people in this world, there's not going to be, you're not going to have 8 billion supporters. So it's about, you know, focusing your efforts and your energy on where they're going to be utilized to the best capacity. And it's, again, it's not, you're wasting, so many people waste their time, they waste their energy, they waste their intellect and patience on talking to people, trying to convince them to do X, Y, Z, trying to show them this is reality, this is what's happening, even though you're refusing to believe it. It's not about that. That's a waste of your energy. It's not going to go anywhere. But if you target the people that are willing to make a difference, that are willing to act and align with the same values and beliefs that you have, that is the group, that is the 3.5% of the 8 billion that you're going to be able to get on your side, that are going to be able to change these industry standards and have more accountability and transparency within the business sectors.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, and I really like the fact that, you know, like you mentioned, like realism and a lot that is, you know, like I lived in the US in the past, which, you know, like that's the holy grail for consumerism around the world. But, you know, like even in all of the places where I live, when we're recording this now in December, you know, like Thanksgiving just happened. Like now the holidays are happening. This is, you know, like prime time consumer like moments. And it's like the being able to understand the things that we've been talking about, you know, like the psychological, emotional ties that we have to buying stuff, the understanding our values, understanding and asking questions as well, which we don't do that often too. As you said, you know, like that you did with that bag, like asking questions to people, like who made this? Where is this coming from? Like those questions I've been asking since I joined the Fashion Revolution movement 6 years ago, because those are questions that we don't ask, but they are important questions to know, and then we can choose. And then, you know, like it's about understanding, as we're saying, like the impact of the of those things. If we're buying stuff that we don't need, if we're thinking of buying gifts for people that we don't even know if they need, we don't know who made them, where they came from, which resources, and they're just going to end up again in the landfill. And this is one of the things that I'm not saying don't partake on gift giving, if that's something that, like, you know, people want to do. I'm saying as we've been talking, being more mindful of what it is that we're buying if we are choosing to buy something. You know, like I chose like a long time ago for all of these holidays to tell people, you know, like I don't partake on gifts. Like, and that's my choice. But if other people want to, great. What is the products or the things that you can buy that are more ethical, more sustainable, more caring, more regenerative, you know, like that are going to have a positive impact?
Yes, absolutely. And especially, yeah, now is the season of consumption. And I agree. I don't like gifts where it's just kind of, especially from someone that doesn't really know you, so they don't know what to get you. And it's kind of like a, just a mass gift that they even produce and give to people. So it's really such a waste of resources. And all it has is a negative impact, because even the person who you're gifting it to might not really even enjoy it. So it's actually kind of tricky when you think about it, because if you do have to get gifts for people, firstly, if it's someone that it's, you're close to, friends or family, you should hopefully know something that they would really want, and then be able to work around alternatives to that, that is a little bit more ethical, or purchase from a company, a local business, or a company that does have transparency behind them and accountability. So that's a little bit easier. But even with like these mass gifts that we just kind of give people, like when in doubt, I feel like it's best to, if you really feel the need to give them this, if you purchase something that is more sustainably made and it is environmentally friendly, or it's made from, you know, recycled material, it's made from compostable or biodegradable ingredients or materials, then if they actually do end up throwing it away, it's just going to basically be compost. So in a way, that's such a mindful act, because it's such a risk kind of just giving gifts to give gifts. And it does leave such a negative impact. And being able to get them something that has materials that are more natural, I mean, you completely reduce the risk of any really negative impact, because if they use it, great. But if they don't, okay, it's not going to end up in a landfill somewhere. It's really just going to decompose. Yeah. So there's like a ton of things that I feel like that can go into it, but it's really just about being mindful. And also, if you do put a little bit more mindfulness into your gift, I feel like that even speaks more volumes to the person, to the recipient, because they're going to know, oh, wow, they actually, not only are they just giving me a gift and that's very kind of them, but there was so much thought that went behind this that I appreciate it so much more now, because it was so much more thoughtful than just kind of getting somebody a random trinket.
Yeah. And you know, like one of the things that I tell a lot of times to people is, you know, like if I feel like someone like, you know, wants a gift, I ask them, like, what would you like? Like, I want to buy you something that you don't want. Is there something that you would like? Perhaps they don't want to tell you, all good. But you know, like it's one of the things that as well, it's like, why don't we do that? Why don't we ask people what would they need or what do they want, and then seeing if it's that's within our means or whatever. But it's like just the simple act of asking, but as well as you're saying, like actually showing people that we care by being more mindful of that. And, you know, one of the biggest things, most people get so stressed out buying gifts. It's like, buy less stuff. Ask people what they need, buy good stuff, you know, good in terms of the things that we've been talking about, and that will also lessen your stress. Because this is, you know, like, and the other thing that all of this time of the year brings is all of that stress for people. And when, you know, like, when I tell people a lot of times, it's like, well, do people actually want gifts? Because like, this isn't the topic to get into now, but like, we have, for those that know the five love languages, you know, like, there's people that love giving gifts, there's people that love receiving, but there's people that they don't care about that at all. That's not the way that they either show or receive love. So then it's like, again, asking questions, because like, other people might not be their main way. And then all that perhaps they would care about is you calling them during that day, or you spending time with them if that's possible. You know, like being able to understand as well, I often say this, your presence is your gift as well. Like that could be much more important than buying something. But because again, like we live in this society that we've been conditioned to buy things to show that we care, then we keep on doing that. And this is where, you know, like, okay, more mindfulness.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially, yeah, when it comes to five love languages, which I'm very knowledgeable about as well. And if you do have that relationship with that person, sometimes it's not even necessary to even buy anything. Like, you're so right. It's really about just, you know, catering to how they do receive that love. And we always find it just, I feel maybe within the society that we have created, if you don't give a gift, it kind of seems taboo or inconsiderate. But if you really know that person and what they want, giving them what they need and how they do receive that love is so much more meaningful than just kind of figuring out what you can kind of get them for the holiday because you feel obligated to. So it really takes away the thoughtfulness by feeling like this is just an act of obligation rather than a true act of thoughtfulness and kindness and just genuinity, you know, and having, you know, that mindset where it is really actually part of mindful consumption, knowing when to consume and when not to consume. And even just, again, just about the holidays, even like what we're gifting people these products in, like the wrapping and the packaging, so many people feel obligated to go all out and make it aesthetically pleasing and just beautiful. And I think also Instagram kind of, you know, created this concept too of just having that aesthetic appeal and making it look absolutely beautiful and all these bows and wrapping paper and just all the like frills. And really, I feel like that lacks so much thoughtfulness because you're just playing the role of what society is expecting from you and what society accepts. So if you do get a gift for someone, say they are really into fashion and you end up purchasing something that's from an ethical and sustainable fashion company, but then you want to wrap it in maybe an old fashion magazine that you have, and it's wrapped in this cool, funky, upcycled magazine in a way. And that just adds so much more thoughtfulness to it. And not only is it just cool and unique and like really funky and just individualized, it adds so much more thoughtfulness because you know that person on a deeper level where like maybe she loves like fashion and she loves like Vogue. And so then you ended up taking like an old cover of Vogue and like that's the front of the wrapping paper. And then you cover the rest of it in editorial spreads. I think that's such a unique and thoughtful approach to really, you know, target who that person is. And you've just put so much more effort and just mindfulness behind it. So there are so many ways I feel like you can address, the holidays and consumption and whether to consume or not to consume. And if we do choose to consume, how we're going, how we go about it and how we end up giving it. So there's so many things.
Definitely. You know, Lindsay, I know that we could talk for many more hours, but I want to honor your time. So I want to ask you as we're getting towards the end of this conversation, if you had to, perhaps you have already mentioned it during the conversation, if you had to think and tell people, everyone in the world, one thing that you wish everybody to know, what would that be?
Well, there's a lot of things that I wish people could know, but I would really want to encourage that on the individual level that we can create an impact and we can promote change. Nothing is out of reach. It's all about using our time to educate ourselves about the issues that we're facing and know that there is a world that is happening out there beyond our own world that we live day to day. And it is up to us in our own individual choices to create that better future and to create even better quality of life for people that are making products and making these fashion brands that we constantly are buying from, that we see them, that we hear them, we care about them, that we love them. And they are the ones clothing us. They are the ones even feeding us. They are the ones that are furnishing our apartments, our houses. And we need to have that mindfulness in that state, that certain level of consciousness, to act beyond ourselves, because we would not be who we are today. We would not be where we are today and have the things that we have if it weren't for the individuals that typically people don't pay mind to. And so allowing people to know that individually they can create an impact, even in someone's life oceans away, and knowing that they can have, you know, more mindfulness and elevate their own consciousness to create a state of just a better planet for everyone. I want them to know that that's possible, even on an individual level, where you can have such a great impact with your own individual choices, and those individual choices go far beyond your apartment, your community. They go to the workers that are not fairly paid, that do not have safe working conditions, that can't even feed their own families because they're trying to create these products that we use on our day-to-day basis and don't even think twice about. So basically, it's just about letting people know that they are more than capable, and they have the power to create change, starting within their own lives, within that personal growth, become aware of this, and then they're able to affect that change and create better quality of life for those around them.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. And Lindsay, lastly, if people are interested on connecting with you and learning more about what you do and the work that you do, where can they find you?
So you can find me on social media, of course, at Lindsay Marie Coffee is typically my handles. I also do a lot of work with Eco Branders, and that is their handle as well, on really across all platforms. I also have a website, which is lindsay-coffee.com. And you can also find me at ecobranders.com as well. And yeah, on my website, you can also see other means of ways to contact me. And I'm open to always, you know, speaking with other conscious individuals or helping even guide someone who wants to be a little bit more conscious in their own life. So I am, yeah, welcome to all hi and hellos.
Beautiful. So I'll put all of those links in the show notes so that everybody, if you are interested and resonated and want to check out some of Lindsay's work and some of the work that Eco Branders does, just go into those links. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for your time, for what you do, and for sharing this space with me during this 1 hour.
No, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. And I always love having conscious conversations. So I'm glad we were able to do this. And thank you so much for your time as well. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And for everybody listening and watching us, if you resonated with anything, if there's anything that you want to share or ask about your experience, about the things that we've been talking about, leave us a comment, whatever it is that you're finding us. And we'll see you all on the next episode. Bye.
What did you like the most about this episode? Take a moment to think about what change you can make in your life today.
Share your conscious action on social media using hashtag conscious action and tagging at conscious action NZ so we can celebrate your impact on the world and create a ripple effect.
One easy action we would love for you to take right now is to share, like, and subscribe to this podcast. This will help us get these messages out into the world and inspire more people to take conscious action in their own lives, contributing to the better world we hope for.